I was blessed by Brother Vince's comments, and I'm sure you were, and ask you to continue to pray for me and with me as I endeavor to preach to you tonight. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul would say, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." He doesn't tell us to give thanks for everything. We don't thank God for cancer and heart trouble and all those horrible things. But in every situation in life, we should be giving thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. Do you want to do God's will? Well, it's God's will that we give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Nelda and I visit a home in Tennessee, and they have a plaque up on the wall that says, "Lord, you've given us so much. Would you give us one more thing? A grateful heart." We don't want to enjoy God's blessings without expressing our gratitude. And I think for many Americans, Thanksgiving is the favorite holiday. We certainly have a lot to be thankful for. Tonight, I want to go with you back into the Old Testament and for a little while look at what the Bible has to say about God delivering the Hebrew slaves out of Egyptian bondage into the promised land. And I'd like to begin in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 30. "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore." And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. These people, these Hebrew slaves, were eyewitnesses to one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. When the waters of the Red Sea backed up like walls on either side, and they went through, and the Bible says they went through dry shod. That means they were kicking up dust when they went through. They didn't have to wade through the mud. God just dried up the Red Sea and allowed them a safe passage. And when they got through and the Egyptians saw what they did, they thought they could do it too. So they got out there and God let the walls of water come down and drown them. So in chapter 15, let's notice in verse 1, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Listen to that verse. "I will sing unto the Lord." I believe that's what we were doing tonight, don't you all? We were singing unto the Lord. Y'all weren't singing to man for the praise of men. You were singing unto the Lord. Just as Moses led the children of Israel on the banks of deliverance, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Now, none of us have experienced that kind of deliverance. But did you know you and I have experienced a greater deliverance than that? 2,000 years ago, our Moses, a greater than Moses, died on the cross and destroyed our enemy. He destroyed Satan and sin and death and brought victory to all of God's elect family. So that's why we were singing tonight. We were singing because we have triumphed gloriously over our enemy, Satan, and sin. We have been delivered, not from some slavery in Egypt, but for something far worse. We have been delivered. Now, do y'all think about that through the week? Chances are, you'll see something or hear something that will remind you of your Savior. I hope you do. And if you don't, then just deliberately plan on reading something. Or get a songbook out and sing. An elder goes around the house singing a lot, and it's usually some church hymn. And she listens to Grace Alone on the radio, and they're always singing church hymns to the praise of God. And that helps to stir up your pure mind. My nephew Dustin sent me a text this week, and I thought it was interesting. He said, you know, sometimes we're so easily offended by what people say to us, but some of our church songs say things worse than probably what people say to us. And we sung one of them tonight. Poor, weak, and worthless, though I am. What if I came up to you after church tonight and looked you in the eye and said, you're poor, you're weak, and you're worthless? You might get your feelings hurt, but we can sing it and not get our feelings hurt. But the truth is, we are poor and weak and worthless. If I told you tonight, if I came to you in private and said, you are a wretch, would you get offended with me? That's a fair question. But did you know we sing Amazing Grace and tell what a wretch we are? And did you know that is true? We are wretched sinners according to nature. Now, by grace, we're not wretched. We're children of God. We are redeemed. We are sanctified. We are washed whiter than snow, and we're on our way to heaven. That's by grace. But in nature, we are wretched. So, beloved, we've got a lot to sing about when we get to church. We sing usually for 30 minutes. But if we sung all night, we wouldn't get it all sung out. But the 30 minutes that we do spend singing at church is not for the Johnny-come-latelys. You know, when worship begins, the first song. Now, I'm not trying to upset anybody tonight that might have gotten here a little late. I know there, you can have delays. But we really need to plan to get to church in time to hear the first song. We had an old deacon at Vestavia. He lived to be 96 years old. He had a business in downtown Birmingham, still driving down there at 94 every morning. But let me tell you, he was a successful businessman, but he was a faithful member of the church. He'd get there early. And he said, there's two songs I want to hear, Brother Sam, the first one and the last one. And if you get those, you'll get all the others, right? What a faithful brother he was. We had a clock at the back like you all have here. When the time would change, he'd get a ladder and climb up there at the age of 94 and change that clock. I caught him doing it one time and got on to him. He said, oh, I'm all right, Brother Sam. You know, we are here to worship God. And singing is a big part of worship. And it just blesses us when we can join our voices together and sing the songs of Zion. So Moses is singing a song to the praise of God. And let's look over just a moment here at Exodus chapter 15. They were also singing. Notice verse 21. And Miriam was a dear sister in Christ. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Miriam was leading the women of Israel on the banks of the Red Sea and was leading them in songs of praise. Aren't you glad the women can sing in church and praise God just as much as the brethren can? And you and I ought to be singing to his praises in church and wherever else we may have an opportunity. But now let's come down to verse 24 of Exodus 15. Well, verse 23. "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" Now, wait a minute. They've just been delivered from Egyptian slavery. And let me tell you, those taskmasters in Egypt had whips, and they would beat them. And they had to work hard to make bricks for the Egyptians to build their palaces out of. And these were slaves, and they suffered at the hand of the Egyptian. God, in his mercy, has delivered them. They've been there 400 years. And God, in his mercy, has delivered them from slavery and has promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. And they'll be landowners. They're not going to be renting. They're going to be owning the promised land. But on their way, they run into a little problem. And the waters are bitter. And rather than being patient and thanking God and continuing to sing and asking the Lord to bless them, they began to what? Murmur. And as you read these passages, you're going to find that word murmur about 7 or 8 times. These people were murmuring. Now, compared to what they had in Egypt, the water problem seemed to be minor. Last Sunday when I was at Vestavia, or 2 Sundays, I forget just now when I was over there, but I was trying to preach on this, having a good attitude and praising God even in the midst of our trials. And a sister in the church, Sister Christy Myers, who has had, she's been battling cancer for a long time, made many trips to Houston, Texas, to MD Anderson. And she had a life-threatening cancer. It seemed that she would not live, but God in his mercy spared her life. She came up to me after church, and she said, "Brother Sam, when they punch a hole in your side and they put a tube in there and they tell you that's the only nourishment you're going to get for months and months," she said, "a traffic jam just isn't a big deal." Really, beloved, you and I need to put life in perspective. And now, she says, "Brother Sam, I worry about very little. I am so blessed just to still be alive." Can I get a witness from anybody in the house tonight? How many of us know how blessed we are? And yet, like Israel of old, sometimes we find ourselves murmuring. Let's notice a moment over in Philippians chapter 2, some instructions the Apostle Paul gave us. In Philippians chapter 2, he would say in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Did you know that murmuring is an awful sin and it displeases God? Well, God had mercy on the Israelites, and he blessed Moses to strike a rock with his rod, and water flowed out like a river of fresh water. And they drank abundantly in the wilderness. Then God brings them to an oasis where there are all these pine trees and or palm trees and wells. God is blessing them on their journey to the promised land. And yet, they're murmuring. They don't have anything to eat. And rather than trusting God, who has just worked a miracle by delivering them from the Red Sea and traveling by faith and knowing that surely God didn't bring us out here to let us starve, they murmur and they complain and they say, would to God we had died. Let's look at Exodus 16 and verse 3. This is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Exodus 16 and verse 3. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died in the land, by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. Now listen, folks, they were slaves in Egypt. They weren't as full as ticks down there. But in remembering it, they thought, I wish we'd have died at the hand of God while we were in Egypt. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Here they are murmuring, talking to God and murmuring. Do any of us struggle with murmuring? Now, think about it. Somebody sent me a beautiful poem, a Thanksgiving poem that I really appreciated. And this man in the poem was thanking God for his wife when she said, we're having hot dogs for supper. Because he said, at least she's not out running around with other men. And the wife, whose husband was laying on the sofa as a couch potato, she was so thankful for him because at least he wasn't at the bars. And he wasn't chasing women. Hey, y'all got to get this. I don't know if I can explain it to y'all or not. You say, well, the man ought to have a right to complain. Brother Sammy's going to have to eat a hot dog at home. No, sir. If she's at home cooking, he ought to thank God for it. Amen. Am I getting this over to y'all? See, we complain about a hot dog when we think we deserve a lot more. But if the wife is home cooking, even if it's a hot dog, we ought to be thanking God. The husband laying in there on the sofa when maybe he needs to be out cutting the grass, but at least he's at home. Let me tell you, you talk to people whose spouses have been cheating on them, running around. Let me tell you, they'll tell you what a blessing it is for the old man to be at the house. And he's a faithful husband. And the teenager who's complaining because they're having to wash the dishes, but you thank God for the teenager because they're at home, not on drugs. Y'all know what a blessing it is to have a bunch of kids and they're not drug addicts? Come on, folks. Am I getting this over to y'all? You say, if my teenager's in there fussing because she's washing the dishes, I'm going to murmur. No, you better thank God she's at home. Because a lot of kids aren't at home tonight. And he went on to thank God for the high heating bill because it meant that he was warm. Woo-hoo! How many of us are complaining about the gas prices? And I wish they were lower. But at least right now, y'all are able to get enough gas to come over here tonight, right? He just went on that way, thanking God for things that ordinarily we'd be complaining and murmuring about. And you know who you're murmuring to when you're murmuring? To the God of this universe. That's basically what it amounts to. And so here is Israel, out there in the wilderness. And they've experienced the greatest deliverance up until that time in the history of the world. Perhaps 3 million slaves are brought out of Egypt under the blood of the Passover lamb. And the waters of the Red Sea are backed up. And the army, Pharaoh's army that's pursuing them with swords and spears and chariots to kill them or take them back into slavery, God has destroyed that enemy. Now, if you don't have anything else tonight to praise God for, you can go to Calvary and bow and say, "Thank you, Father, for our Moses, who has delivered us from our enemy, from Satan himself, and from our own sins." And now we're on our way to heaven. You know, Jesus didn't just come down here to teach us, to save us from hell to heaven when life is no more. He came down here to teach us how to live after we're born again. And you know what Jesus went around doing? Thanking God. He said in Matthew 11, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." If Jesus was thanking the Father, what do y'all think Brother Sam ought to be doing? I'm appreciating a few nods. If I'm stepping on your toes, I'm glad I am, because they probably need to be stepped on. But that just shows I'm a bad aim, because I'm aiming for your heart tonight. I want us all to leave here full of thanksgiving, thanking God for all of his manifold blessings that are unspeakable, that are indescribable. And when you're counting your blessings, let me tell you, yeah, we're thankful for our houses and our clothes and our food and our cars and all of that. But I tell you, the main thing is our loved ones, our families, and our churches. What would life be like without other people to love? Oh, beloved, we have so much to praise God for. You say, "Well, Brother Sam, it's so easy for me to murmur." Well, I want to turn with you now over to the book of Joshua, and I want to try to point out some things tonight that might help all of us to keep in memory the blessings of God. When Joshua, now Moses has died. Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land, but Joshua is leading the people in. And Joshua, in chapter 4, instructs them to build memorials that will remind them of God's glorious deliverance. Now, they're going in. The wilderness journey is over. 40 years in the wilderness. They could have been out of there in 11 days if they hadn't murmured. There ain't no telling how many blessings you and I miss because we murmur. Did you know the Bible says that we can limit God by our complaining? Let's look at, you say now, "Brother Sam, I got to have a text for that." You saying we can limit God? Well, let's look at Psalm 78. Listen to this. Beginning in verse 37 of Psalm 78. "For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert." How many of y'all like to be unappreciated? How many mamas in this house tonight cook a meal and your kids complain because it's not what they want? Do you like that? Do you like for your children to complain because you've worked maybe for an hour or two cooking a meal and they fuss about it? How many of y'all like to be unappreciated? Well, I want to tell you, our God doesn't like to be unappreciated. He wants his children to be grateful. He wants us to thank him on a daily basis in all things. But here is Israel. They're provoking him in the wilderness and grieving him in the desert. I tell you, that breaks my heart when I read that verse. They grieve him in the desert. The God of the universe is grieved with his blood-bought, redeemed, delivered people because they're doing nothing but murmuring and complaining about everything. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Did you know that you, now God is sovereign, obviously, but you and I can limit him and what he would do for us by our murmuring and our complaining. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible says when Jesus went back to Nazareth, his hometown, he could do no mighty works there. You know why? You know why? Because they were full of unbelief. They said, this is the carpenter's son. We know Jesus. His daddy's Joseph the carpenter. We knew him when he was a little boy running around here barefooted. There's nothing much to him. And he could do no mighty works in Nazareth because of their unbelief. Beloved, let's not live in unbelief. Let's not doubt God. Let's not murmur and complain as they did in the wilderness, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Let me tell you, America has been blessed like no nation in the history of nations. And this nation, I'm talking about every day, ought to just be sending up millions and billions of thank yous to the God that has blessed America like no nation in the history of the world. And yet I'm fearful that we don't do that as a nation. I understand we got a lot of problems in Washington. I see the news. I know that. But I want to tell you, instead of us complaining and murmuring about how bad everything is, we ought to be praying to God and praising him for all of his blessings and asking him to intervene. Let me tell you, he can turn the heart of the king just as he pleases. Did you know he can do that? He can slip into the White House and put thoughts in the minds of the President of the United States and guide him in a sovereign way. Are y'all praying for that? Or are you just murmuring and complaining about what a sorry leader we've got? Is your complaining helping? Come on now. Now, this is going out over the World Wide Web, so y'all understand, we ought to be praying to God who can raise up good men to rule over us. Instead of always just murmuring and I'm tell you, if complaining would fix America, we would be fixed. Because just about everybody I know complains about the government. And if nothing else, we'll complain about the weather. Or we'll complain about the price of everything. Instead of just giving thanks. You know the story of the woman, the widow who was praying to God that God would supply her some food. She was very poor. She was a widow. And a neighbor who heard her praying was an atheist. He went and bought her some groceries and brought them and set them on her front porch. And when she went out and found them, she was just praising God. And he jumps out behind a bush and says, God didn't do that for you. I brought them over here. She said, well, the devil may have delivered them, but God sent them. That woman had a good attitude, didn't she? Y'all say, Brother Sam, I can't think like that. Yes, you can. If you get your mind in the book and you keep your pure mind stirred up, you can start thinking like that. Or you can just complain and murmur and limit God, just like Israel did in the wilderness. Now here, Joshua, they're already in the land. And Joshua takes 12 men, one from each tribe. And you know what they do? They pick up heavy stones, weights, and they set them up, those 12 stones, as a memorial. So that someday, when a generation is here that wasn't living when all of these blessings came, and they'll say, "What means these stones?" You can tell them. You can tell them what these stones mean. They remind us of God bringing our fathers out of Egypt, bringing them into this good land that flows with milk and honey. What are our children going to remember about us? That we just sit around talking about how bad everything is and it's going to get worse? Or do they hear us sitting around talking about how good God is? And He's brought us safe thus far. And by His grace, He'll continue to bless me. We want our children, when they ask us, now here are some memorials you and I can set up. Baptism. How many of y'all have been baptized? Let me tell you, that's a memorial. The day I was baptized, I had the privilege of saying, "I believe Jesus loved me and died for me and was buried and rose again." And let me tell you, that is a memory that I'll cherish till the day I die. The day Elder Darty plunged me in the liquid grave and brought me out. And I was saying, "I believe." And it blessed me to come into the church. Another memorial we have in the church is communion. Jesus said, "When you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of grandparents." No, do it in remembrance of me. We just had a sweet communion here. I enjoyed it. Did y'all? I was Brother Dan Hall and them over at Pleasant Plains for theirs. I was down at Oak Grove for theirs. You know what we do when we meet? What if somebody got up at the communion table and just started complaining about everything? Would that be any spirit of communion? No. They get up and talk about how good God is. He gave His Son to die for us. He gave His body to be broken for us. His blood to be shed for us. How many of y'all want to just live like that all the time, just thanking God? You know, Sister Annie Arnold, who lived up the road here, lived in a shack of a house. But let me tell you, I drove up there one day. You could see chickens under her house through the cracks in the floor. Now, that's the kind of house she lived in. How many of y'all live in anything like that? And I got out of the car and I could hear her singing old hymns. Now, let me tell you, that blessed my heart. You can do this, folks. I can do it. We got to work at it. See, we got to battle this flesh every day. How many of y'all have to deal with your flesh every day? Y'all ever get a day off? The flesh never takes a holiday. The devil never takes a holiday. There's one thing you can say about the devil. Give him his due. He never takes a coffee break. He never takes a day off. He never takes a vacation. He's on the job 24/7. And let me tell you, I've been under satanic attack a lot lately. I told Nelda about it. And it's in my mind. And Satan trying to pull me down. And I tell you, it's warfare. And that's what I need to do when I get up in the morning, is put on the helmet of salvation. For I put on my clothes. I need to put on the whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation to protect my mind. To keep Satan from building up strongholds in my mind. You know, the battle is in the mind, folks. And I need that shield of faith. See, these people out there in the wilderness, if they'd have been having faith in God, they'd have said, "God will provide food for us." And He did. He rained manna down from heaven for 40 years. The longest running miracle in the Bible. But no, they weren't thinking about how God had been. They forgot Him. They asked the question, "Is God with us?" Put on that shield of faith. Put on that girdle of truth. What are those other pieces of armor? The sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. Take that with you wherever you go. This, and you talk about memorials. Baptism is a memorial. Communion is a memorial. Church is a memorial. You know how this church has been here since, what, 1809? God has watched over it. You know how the church has been in the world 2,000 years? By the cunningness of men? No, by the faithfulness of God. And this is a memorial. This church is a memorial to Jesus Christ, because we're still preaching Jesus here. It's not about man. It's not about what we've done. It's about Him. His name is hallowed in this place. His name is above every name. Would y'all agree with that tonight? How many of y'all esteem the name of God? Holy and reverend is His name in this house. The church is a memorial. And then this Bible, you know, He didn't give us this Bible as a file cabinet. You know, the preacher was visiting a family one time and said to the little kid, "Would you go get that Bible your mama loves so much?" And they brought back the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Ooh. This book is a memorial. God has kept it. He divinely inspired it. Every word in here is divinely inspired. How many of y'all believe that? And it's divinely preserved. It's a memorial to the God of this universe. This is a miracle right here. Nothing like it in the world. The word Bible means the book, and this is it. And then prayer. Did you know prayer is a memorial? Bless His name. Thank you all for your wonderful attention tonight. May God just fill us with praise and worship.